asking you to unmute. There you go. Hi, so it's my pleasure to introduce Frank. I'm not sure if Frank's been to a Tustenu meeting before, but welcome, Frank. We're all looking forward to hearing you. And I shall hand the meeting over to you.
Thank you, Jan. Hi, I'm Frank. I'm alcoholic, and yeah, I'm just going to try and be as honest and helpful as possible, and just share my experience as a active addict prior and somebody in sobriety. Just a little bit about my background. I live in London, in inner city London, and just to qualify my relationships with my primary addiction is alcohol. I've been sober for the last 26 years via AA, and my in the context of and I'm in the context of how I met life as a kid and perhaps what's informed and how I've met life is, as long as I can remember, I've always had this innate feeling inside of me, and I had it in the playground as a little kid, of a complete like existential detachment, or a what am I doing here? What is the point of this? And much later in my recovery, validated, and I heard other people talk about it, as well as I don't actually like being here, and that was a big one for me to own as well. And felt very alienated, felt very other, and just didn't understand what was the point of any of this. And really deep philosophical questions as a little kid. And that's guided my life. And my introduction to like alcoholism cast a really long shadow over my family. It always has addictions in my family. And so my relationship with alcohol as a kid was that it just brought misery, and it brought arguments and atmosphere and violence. So as a young, sensitive little boy, my kind of quiet vow to myself was, I'm not going anywhere near that stuff. All that does is bring misery to my life, to my house. And I saw how it changed people, and I just associated it with aggression and stuff like that. So that was my attitude meeting life, was one of, I don't know what I'm doing here, I don't actually like it here, and alcohol is not something I want to go anywhere near. So how I compensated for that, or I just pretended to be a human. I just pretended, and I did quite pretty kind of mainstream stuff, and just kind of turned up for life, but didn't have any no heartfelt connection with life at all. And I mean that, none at all. I felt very numb, I felt very other. So I pretended to being a human. I pretended in the workspace, I pretended to be interested, I pretended in intimacy, and I had a lot of potential and a lot of promise, as most alcoholics do, quite bright. And I met life from a place of, the only way to get through life, to survive life, is by being almost like a film noir character. You have to be really smart, you have to be shrewd, and you have to be self-sufficient, and don't trust anybody, and don't presume or expect anything from anybody. So it was a very austere it's a very austere, almost like a very Zen approach to life. And I had that in me. It was like, don't expect anything from life. I had no illusions or fantasies about life at all. At all. And I had that prior to ever any traumas in my life, or any accidents or mishaps or suffering. I always had that in me. So that was how I was kind of moving along through the world. But my DNA, my genetic heritage, had other ideas, irrespective of what my superficial relationship with alcohol was. Alcoholism in me, addiction in me, had other ideas, and it started to show itself. Primarily, it started to show itself in my thinking. I always had that voice in my head. and it said, "You are useless, you are ugly, you are worthless, and the world is a dangerous place." And again, it's only much later in recovery that I could strip that down to what was that voice telling me, and how did it make me feel, or how did it make me meet life? And that voice, John Barleycorn in AA speak, told me, "You are unlovable and you are unsafe." And I felt, I didn't land on that realization until much later on into recovery, that I felt unsafe all the time. And I felt love was completely my, I lived a life completely absent of love in myself, for myself, zero. So life was a struggle, and it was hard, and I'm quite joyless actually. Even though I experienced nice things, it was still quite joyless on a heart level, you know. And yeah, so yeah, my alcoholism started to show itself more and more. And so by the age of 21, I was experiencing physical addiction to alcohol. For somebody who had, prior to that, had resolutely sworn to never touch the stuff, by the age of 21, 22, I was pretty much in the grip of untreated and undiagnosed alcoholism. And it had me, and it absolutely annihilated my life. And I didn't know what was happening. It felt like a really intrusive happening. I don't know what's going on. And despite my best efforts, I couldn't stop drinking. And that, and the sum result of that was that this kid who had some promise and some potential and was trying to navigate his way through life was now reduced down to asking people for a pound for a can of cider, you know, begging in the streets. My whatever career I had was long gone. Relationships are gone. Everything was gone. It stripped everything away from me. And I reckon I spent about 8 or 9 years just in that, in the fearsome land of nowhere that Bill W. says sometimes. It's like this complete wasteland of just 24/7 alcoholic drinking. And alcoholism, what the compulsion to drink and the obsession, all of this symptoms of alcoholism was so violent, it was so relentless on me. And I just, there was no escape from it. From the second I woke up, it was on me, you know, and I became a morning drinker. Essentially, you would rarely have met me sober in that period of my life. And so the trajectory was, I just went down and down and down and down and down and down, and utterly lost, you know. And my drinking, just to quickly, like, as well as the external stuff, you know, the awfulness that addiction brought me to, my inner world was just despair and desolate. And I felt utterly like almost like a sense of betrayal. I don't know what's happening to me at all. And I just could not stop drinking for love nor money. And I don't know, you know, I came to a place in 1999 where, because I'd already had that feeling inside of me of, I don't want to be here. I didn't have any suicidal ideation. It's a very distinct other thing. It's like, I don't get this life. I find this whole thing of existing really, really difficult. And it makes no sense to me whatsoever. You know, and that's a whole philosophical thing. But that's how I was. And in addition to that, I was suffering from full-blown chronic alcoholism, you know. So I was very much in the last chance saloon, you know. And there's a simplicity and a purity to that, because there was absolutely nowhere else to go. I'd burnt all my bridges. And I think, I don't know, I didn't have any prior experience of recovery or sobriety or anything like that, really. Not of any depth. I might have fleetingly saw something in a movie like The Lost Weekend or Days of Wine and Roses, something like that, but it didn't really register massively. But I did see some guys outside a little church near me here in West London, and they were, you know, I don't know, something registered. And then another time, I saw a little sign that said Alcoholics Anonymous on a Monday night. And again, that little period of my life there is, and I'm very cautious in the language that I use, but I came to my first AA meet, and here's somebody who could not stop drinking. I mean, there was nothing on Nothing would prevent me from treating. There was no deterrent. I was fully in the grip of untreated alcoholism. I came to a really, really unremarkable meeting of AA. And it wasn't, it was, and I'll get onto that in a minute. It's a very unremarkable, low-key meeting of AA here in London, full of my mum and dad's really, like Irish people who come over in the 60s to London, maybe a room of 50 people. And I just experienced a very like, I experienced like an involuntary surrender, or there was a relinquishing inside of me, and my little pilot light just flickered for the first time in as long as I could remember. My little life energy just flickered, and my relationship with alcohol changed completely. He was somebody who couldn't leave it alone, and I walked out of that meeting, and I came home, I looked in the mirror, and I just had a little bit of spark in me, a little bit of fire in me. I just said, I'm never, ever, ever going to pick up a drink again. I would rather be dead than drunk. I remember who used to say that, and I said, yeah, absolutely. And I had this real sincerity and a willingness and an earnestness, a real seriousness about, I don't know what this is, but this is a lifeline. It was like, this is an invitation, Frank, for you to live. And this is like an escape ladder has been thrown down. I just grabbed on with both hands. What I will say about that, like my formative years in AA recovery, was that the kind of set menus that I was introduced to in AA was very God-centric. It was almost exclusively God-centric. It was, if you don't pray, you won't stay. It was a very common thing. And there was kind of Joys of Recovery, Roads to Recovery, where the set menu would be, you need to hit your knees in the morning and ask God for a sober day and thank him at night. So that was a very regimented recovery. I didn't hear very, I heard, I don't think I heard any outriders from that message at all. So I did experience, and I reflect back on it now, what, 26 years later, I do reflect back on, I would falteringly kind of share, because in my heart, I didn't subscribe to any of that at all. In my heart, to thine own self be true. I didn't subscribe to any of that at all. And I was a totally passionate, committed member of AA. And I met a beautiful man, became my sponsor, still my sponsor now. And I was dedicated, like, living this life and all of that entails. But in my heart, I didn't believe in God at all. I didn't not believe in God a little bit. I just absolutely didn't believe. And my freedom was in the absence of God. And any form of spiritual escapism or spiritual, a lot of the language in the rooms, nothing happens in God's world by mistake, or God's got a plan for you, or all of this stuff, which was very confidently said to me and with great authority by people, I didn't subscribe to at all. So as a young person in recovery and a newcomer, I had to hold my nerve a lot. And I did have people come up to me, old timers come up to me, when I would kind of falteringly say, that's not my truth, and they would contradict me and cross me and say, the suggestion was, the implied suggestion was, and it's a little bit touched on, we agnostics as well, is like, so you know better, then you're displaying some kind of intellectual arrogance. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It was the most humble and rigorously honest place I arrived at, and I was finding my voice. So a lot of my recovery, like being going through the steps really diligently, being really rigorously honest in all my dealings with people, pursuing or exploring, an atheist spirituality, and very diligently doing service in lots of frontline service and mental health units or rehabs and all this kind of stuff, 12-step work, all of that kind of stuff, through thick and thin, all through my life. One of the biggest journeys for me was, or has been, and it's a little bit easier now in the Zoom world, that the atheist, agnostic, free thinker, meetings like this become a bit more, that community has grown, it's more accessible, and I hear some voices that I can really connect with, was that I had to come to a place where meeting recovery from an eighth of me, from like an atheist sensibility, was a very valid, credible, honest place of integrity and recovery. It didn't need to be contradicted. It wasn't a negative either. I was kept getting told that I'd somehow got it wrong. You're doing it wrong. And I had to really shake that off a lot and So yeah, so I had a yeah, I've had to work at that a lot. So what I did was, because there was despite my hair, despite my addiction, I said I just want I was just fascinated. How have people historically through AA, how have people got sober without a belief in God? How have they done it, and who has done it, and how, you know? And I want to find out. So I just went quietly away, and I just researched as much as I could about, you know, Jim Burwell and Martin Mann and all these people and all these pioneering people that had kind of led the way for people like me. And then I looked at Bill W's writings in Grapevine about the dilemma of no faith and his kind of apology for his heavy-handedness in the We Agnostics chapter. And I just read a lot of literature about, you know, secular sobriety and stuff. And I just became more at peace and more felt more liberated. And I would say more in meetings, you know, like my recovery is just based in the nowness of now, and I haven't there's an insistence on reality. I just want it to be real. I don't have any spiritual privilege just because I happen to be a member of AA. Just because I'm sober, it doesn't mean I can't get, you know, stabbed in the supermarket. I have no escapism whatsoever. I had to keep it really, really real, and just for today, just for now. So what can I say? So yeah, I still meet life from that place of being a slightly reluctant human being. And I can balance the two. I can hold both things. I can be that person, but I can also have incredible gratitude for my sobriety. It's absolutely the most precious thing in my life, and I'm as passionate about living this life as I was when I first came to AA. I have no interest or illusions about alcohol in my life. It plays no part whatsoever. And I live a very simple program. I have a really great sponsor. I have a really good council of people around me I share with all the time. I'm completely honest with them. I need to be exposed to at least 3 hours of AA meetings a week. And I need to go to meetings that are inspiring, and I'm hearing recovery, and I'm hearing how people live life. You know, I spent years in meetings that were torture, some of the longest hours of my life. So, and I need to share in a very low key. Sometimes it's helpful for new people that I've lived a recovery from an atheist perspective. You know, and it's not a big deal. There's loads of resources out there. The God Word pamphlet is great, and the Many Roads, Many Paths of Spirituality, which is relatively new AA stuff, is great as well. So just to come up today, just come back from Ireland. I was in Ireland last weekend in Ballyhadreen for a festival. There's a lot of drinking, a lot of people drinking. But yeah, maybe sometimes I say, yeah, maybe I'll finish on this. So there's a lot of people getting drunk, and there's a lot of drunkenness, but I don't suffer from drunkenness. I suffer from alcoholism. A completely different beast, and I was completely neutral to it. I could be in a, I was in I was in interacting with lots of different people, big personalities, circus people, comedians, actors, and my emotional sobriety was okay. You know what I mean? My emotional sobriety was okay. I felt quite balanced and simple, and yeah, it was really enjoyable. I really, really liked it. I went to Ireland as a kid all my life. I didn't enjoy it as a kid, but as an adult, I've started to really appreciate it. And I think that might be it, Jan. Yeah, I think I might leave it there anyway. Lots of love.